assignment in Christ. Because you got to shut down yesterday to get into today.
Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like Moshikans and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all seeking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They tour around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You've seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot. Me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
For heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved. Gold refined
something like this.
Oh, beautiful, oh, spacious skies, far amber waves of grace. Far purple mountains in majesties.
I'm talking about America. America, you know, God done shed his grace on me. He crowned that good, saving brotherhood from my God done shed his grace on thee.
Okay, Phil. All right, man. All right, champ.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Three four seven eight three eight nine eight two five. Apologize for the dead air. We have some technical difficulties, but we're back live. Had a lot of things to talk about. I don't know if I'm able to get them on right now. Got the teacher strike just happened. Again, I apologize for that dead air. I apologize for the dead air that we had there. Well, we was going in and out. We was trying to do a live stream. Almost like a video shoot, what have you, but we thought we was off of air for a second, everything didn't go as planned, as copacetic as planned. And well, let me try to get everything together, and I'll be right back in 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Why not believe in me?
347-838-9825. Okay, we got everything taken care of. We're not going to go video stream this one, Ebony, so put this back on the platform. We was trying to do something funky, everybody, for our first year anniversary, so he's trying to do a little video streaming, you know. There's a lot going on. More Jesse Jackson news. Break that with y'all. Obama's going black. What's up with that, y'all? You know, he's speaking some old, the white man keep you down spot. I can't wait to hear this little footage they got. They're going to be playing on Fox News within another hour. Somebody just said that to me. What y'all feel about that? Barack Obama saw all of a sudden going black. But listen, I want to go to this one story real quick. This is a story in Detroit, Michigan. It's about this owner of a gas station. They got all these, they call them looters. And they won't leave his gas station. Now, I just play it. Y'all let me know what y'all think about it. Station. This bad crew.
not stealing, just holding it down like it's their hangout. Now, you would expect a bunch of kids who are getting arrested, they said that the report said that they were sitting undercover investigators there. You would think that by police officers coming up there that they would disperse because the man is calling the man on them. Who wants to get caught up? But that does not even stop the shorties. All right, man. Okay, we back on schedule now, Ebony. Let's go in and get the show rolling. Jimmy Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. I'm expecting to have some members of Chicago Teachers Union on to talk about the vote. And again, what's going to come out the little Chicago Teachers Black Caucus? What moves are they making? And what's up with Obama and him going black, speaking in different dialogues, as the report's saying? This is Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. Talk to me Tuesday, everybody.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way.
Can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit man, bop the bop, bop it out of bebop, bop the bop, yeah, bass man, come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit man, sound good, yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
She said, this month on MSNBC. Let's run that clip out. It's clip 15. Got a chance to look at it again. I was tripping when I saw her speak. I thought she was just pumped up for Obama. But now looking back at it, yeah, she might have had something in her coffee because she was straight and not looking proper on that. This is from the 4th NBC 5 Fort Wayne, Dallas blog. It's a blog about Jesse Jackson Jr. Decision 12. Let me play it for y'all. See what y'all think about it. That's clip 15, Ebony. You got it? Can you pull it up?
Our planet is cleaner energy that we're taking the time to produce cleanly, safely, and responsibly. We're powering progress and making life better for everyone who calls North Texas.
Clip 15, Ebony. Why'd you run another commercial then? What? Okay. I get it then. Skip it. Okay. While my producer, super producer E Love, is searching for the Jesse Jackson rival says show up a dropout clip. Now, This is on Dallas, Fort Wayne, Texas. This is on NBC, man. This is done today about this morning, about 7:30. And it goes on. You got it? All right, run it then.
Time for a change. That's what independent candidate for Congress Marcus Lewis is asking as he stands outside Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr.'s South Side office.
I'm putting out a demand that Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. needs to come out of his house, come out of hiding, and time for him to go back to work.
While there is no sign of the congressman at his Chicago home, we do know his Washington, D.C. house is up for sale. He's on a medical leave from Congress, being treated for bipolar depression, and Jackson remains on the ballot.
We gave him 113 days, unfettered. We even prayed for him. I even prayed for him. Anybody think you don't wish bad on nobody? But we have an election.
A spokesman for the Jackson campaign says the congressman has not yet been cleared by doctors to return to work. His father, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., won't take any other questions about whether the congressman might be back to work before Election Day or if, as some suggest, he will resign after the election, so a special election would be necessary. As for the voters in Jackson's district, most that we spoke to today gave him their support.
He's going through a trying time, but I feel like he has enough support to go through and make it through this.
I feel he did a good job. So that's why I'll vote for him again.
Yeah. So that's the people in the 2nd District. They're feeling the Jackson love, his opponent. You know, you wonder about the Jacksons because all their opponents have been, like, hand-picked. And you wonder if these people that are running against them are hand-picked because they're not even they're not even coming out hard. You would think that seeing all the controversy surrounding him, that I'm not going to say it'd be a walk in the park, you know, but it shouldn't be that difficult, you know. He's not going to be able to debate the issues. He's not going to be able to talk policy. He's not going to be able to explain his vote or why he voted a certain way. Now here's an article, in or out of politics. So let me take this call right here. Yeah. Hey, you're online, Jimmy Lee Underground Radio. What's up? This is Brother Bianchi.
Yeah, what's up, Jimmy?
How you doing, my friend? What's going on with you?
Man, blacks would vote for Jackson if he killed their mama.
Ha! Listen, it seems that way now, you know, because there's overwhelming evidence that proves that he was either involved with Robin Goyvich. Well, everybody knows what Nyack offered the seat. He was candidate number 5. But now this disappearing act that he's playing, he's going to get away scot-free without debating. You know, without even showing up. And honestly, I feel sorry for the candidates because I feel that they got to be handpicked because, I mean, you would think it'd be easy to garner press. You know what I'm saying? To get out there, to get your name out there, to be, you know, be on TV. You know, but you're right. You see, I have my suspicions of this, Brother Bianchi. My suspicions of this that. The Jacksons work for the government, and they are sent to the government to destabilize black community, straight up. You know, like, let me give you an example. Now, this is how they that's not an example. I'm probably moving on. Like, Rahm Emanuel and these charter schools and this whole little movement that's going on with these teachers. Now, it's funny that this whole charter school plan is coming right out of David Axelrod. Office, and they're funding all these TV commercials that he's running about these charter schools. And now the Democratic Party has adopted charter schools as a platform. And now it's funny how, you know, they got
Illinois
all these
already
against it.
Illinois had, Illinois got charter schools. Cause
yeah, we
I
got
know,
charter
governor. Huh?
Go on here, I'm sorry. Hey, you either turn your computer down or, you know, because you get a little feedback.
Man, I don't know what that is. My computer is off. My sound is off and everything else. I think I just got some bad lines.
You're a worldwide traveler. That's what happens when you go back and forth to Africa. You know, people be watching you and stuff like that. It be that way sometimes, right?
Well, that might be the case, too. But what is this district like? He's representing about 300,000 people, isn't he?
Well, they just remapped him, and they took him really out the city, out to some white rural areas, Piatone, Kankakee, really in Will County, really out of Cook County, which is the black strong point. But in Chicago, if you win black Cook County, you win it all. You know, black Chicago controls all of Illinois. He who gets the most black votes in your state run office, you'll win it straight out. You know, because everything else is farmland, and we're so condensed in the population. But let me be up front with you. Man, this district, you know, just like every other black district, you know, they ain't got no jobs, they ain't got no hookups, they ain't got no benefits. They want to talk about they getting, you got Jesse Jackson's son in your office. And let me give you an example. You got his brother right now trying to get some money from the city for a TIF grant so he can build a remodel a building for a distribution deal because he got with Budweiser. This is useful. Now, I'm tripping that. He'll take that money and build a beer distribution center on the white side of town, but won't put it in his sister-in-law's wards where that can create jobs. He got his trucks parked over there in Bridgeport. That's in Daly's backyard. instead of rinse a spot out in the black community. What I'm saying is, they talk that trickle down the money to your community, but even when they do their own business, they don't even bring them to the black community. Here this man with a major beer distribution company, him and all the A-Raps and all the beers and all the black communities up and down the whole neighborhood. Even got a link on the special Goose Island microbrews. Now he got a big contract now, but yet he won't even facilitate a distribution center in the heart of the community that buys most of his products. You know what I'm saying? I mean it's stuff like that. It's just stuff like that.
Hmm.
You know,
well,
as far as
it's typical.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's typical, Jimmy.
You know?
It's typical with them black politicians.
You know? Because far as I'm concerned right now, like, you can follow Chicago media or politics. We just had this little protest to get blacks some contracting jobs in Chicago, and it took an 87-year-old man by the name of Ed Gardner. He's the owner and he set up Soft Sheen Cosmetics, you know, one of the first sponsors of Soul Train. You know, he's one of the nice little billionaire. He said he was driving up and down the street and got tired of seeing in this neighborhood white people working, doing all the work. He stops in the middle of the street, walks and stops, stands in front of a concrete pour and says, "I'm not moving until some blacks been hired." Now, they pour concrete on him. They thought he was going to scare him, but he took it up to his calves, almost up to his knees. And then he comes to the black radio station and asks for 10,000 people. About 3,000, 4,000 showed up, which is a great number on a Sunday at 3 o'clock coming from watching football. And we were screaming, jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, you had Bobby Rush there. You had Danny Davis there. You had all these politicians that sit on these federal grants. That sit on all these that knows where the money's going for all these contractors. Now, here they are, songing and dancing, skinning and grinning for all these black people like, "I'm with y'all on contracting." Not looking at you the problem because you know where the money is going to. You are issuing these grants. These contractors are coming to you for the grant. They're coming to you for this money. You can easily.
What kind of job is this? A federal job?
Let's say if I get federal money to a con. Let's say I want contract.
So where's the money coming from? What is the federal job?
Let me give an example of federal jobs.
It's a federal job in Illinois, the participation rate is 14.8%.
If we can get 14.8%, if we get that.
That needs
we about
to be
have Metro rebuild
that's
the railroad.
That's
federal
two
money.
That's out of 100. Yeah. That's less
yeah, I mean,
than
we're not, we're not even getting that. We can't even get the holding the flag to tell the people to slow down coming down the street. You know what I'm saying?
Here's a point on that. See, they used that when we was protesting the bridge down in, you know, here in St. Louis, between East St. Louis and St. Louis. And the people came out of Springfield and said that the federal requirement is 14.8%. Well, that was put in effect back in like the 70s when the communities were majority white and they didn't want no more than, you know, 14.8 or 15% black of participation. Now you got communities that's damn near 100% black and they still using that same percentage. That should be up to reflect the local community. You know what I'm saying?
That is
you
so true.
Black community. Yeah.
In Chicago, there's an older woman. She had in her ward, her little district area, that it was 70-30. She's a black Alden woman at the time. There's a black community.
Tillman.
Any contracts come this way, it's 70% black, 30% other. Point blank, or you're not getting no contract. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the way it
that's
should be.
Model. Or for the black community up until, you know, she got out of office and then, you know, everything went back to business as usual. They take the fine. You get fined for not having no minorities or contract, but what they do is they write that fine off into the proposal. You know, they already calculate that in their cost of doing business. You know, through they take the fine. It ain't nothing.
Now, Obama could change that 14.8.
Right.
Obama could change that 14.8 immediately.
immediately.
In some states, it's like 30%. I think down in Georgia, it's 30%, somewhere around there. But that don't make no sense, man. That's the kind of shit I be
Reagan
talking
had,
about.
Well, not Reagan. Nixon had a plan back in, was it 69? The
Philadelphia
plan. Philadelphia plan, right. Nixon had the Philadelphia plan where he put it in effect. I mean, either if you bring back the Philadelphia plan right now.
Arthur Fletcher came to Chicago.
You know?
Because his plan was affecting exactly the type of demonstration that you just got through mentioning. And Daley, the union, was going to try to kill Arthur Fletcher. Nixon called Daley and told him that if they harmed a hair on his head, that he would have the 82nd Airborne in Chicago marching down Michigan Avenue, shutting down the whole city.
You see, people forget about that little history. People look at, you see, it's funny about white politicians that do things for black people, how they get shunned. You got, let me give you an example. There's a governor, Jim Thompson, and he's in jail right now. Now, he's in jail from Trump charges. Mainly, I think he's in jail because he held a death row moratorium. We're not going to kill no more blacks on death row.
Right.
You know,
after
because
that nigga by the pound stuff that was going on in the prosecutor office.
Right. So he said, it's too many. We're going to hold this death row up right now because too many blacks are being wrongly killed. Next thing you know, he goes to jail for license standards that he had nothing to do with. I said that in reference to Nixon. Now, Nixon will always get the Watergate scandal off him. I'm not a crook and what have you, but if black America were to take a look at Richard Nixon's policies and how they advanced black America, they'll
and
hold him.
That was
under
Ryan, wasn't it?
I mean, I was talking about Ryan. Yeah, I'm thinking it's the Thompson Center.
Yeah, Ryan is, was Ryan a Democrat or Republican?
Republican.
Yeah, I thought so.
Right. I mean, he came out and said, I'm going to put a freeze on the death row moratoriums. And because too many innocent black men are being killed. He's in jail for that. That's what he's in jail. That's why he's really in jail, in my opinion. I will hold that. Now, you got Richard Nixon with the Philadelphia plan. Will this get more black minority owner in media?
You had the bond here in Missouri that permitted the people in the housing projects to own the housing projects.
Right.
They built brand new housing units, and the people that were living in the old ones was able to come back into the new ones and still pay the same amount that they was paying in the old raggedy ones.
You see, if you were to just dust off Nixon's plan right now, if Obama was to dust off Nixon's plan right now, I mean, it's nothing new, it's nothing genuine. It was something that worked. You know, it was something that worked. You know, and like I was telling people earlier that in about 3 years, African Americans, descendant of the African slave here in America will be Republican almost like they were back in 1972. That number high. You know, I'm not saying that's I'm not going back to the 60s or 50s. I'm saying I'm going back to the days of before Jimmy Carter, before Gerald Ford. Matter of fact, people didn't even realize that Richard Nixon was going to try to make Ed Brooks his vice president when Spiro Agnew got in that trouble. You know? Richard Nixon once predicted that African Americans are going to be our president because that's why he got a bad name. They don't want you to know the history of Richard Nixon, you know? Even though we won't trip on Reagan, Reagan did sign Martin Luther King birthday and the holiday. Jimmy Carter didn't do that.
He did that because they was able to borrow that money from Social Security.
No matter what. I hear that. Jimmy Carter couldn't even do it. He had Andrew Young on his squad. He came from Georgia. I mean, he knows the legacy of Martin Luther King. Matter of fact, African Americans put him in big time. I mean, one stroke of a pen, signing Martin Luther King into a holiday, he could have been reelected. You know,
a lot of blacks would have been Reagan.
Blacks
is irrelevant, is non-relevant anymore. They don't have the numbers. Democrats are actually dropping black folks. They're going for the Hispanics.
They dropped them. Once they dropped them the day Obama was in Grant Park. The Clintons dropped all the Negro participation in the policy. But here's the deal, though. You cannot win the White House with the white vote. You tried it with McCain.
No, you gotta have them Hispanics.
And they tried it with, and Romney's having a hard time getting it now. You know, because
if whites come out and vote, they could. But the whites don't. If whites came out and voted in numbers, they could. They still outnumber them.
They will be a minority by 2022. They're a minority.
You count minority kids who can't. You count minority kids who can't vote. If you look at the number of whites that's on food stamp, which is 79 million, if they all voted Republican, and then that would do it. Obama only got 55 million votes.
Well, like I said, white people, 30% of everybody, 30% of whites are on food stamps, 25% African Americans.
37% of whites on food stamps.
37% white, right, and 20% black, and I think 22%.
22% of blacks on food stamps.
You don't realize that. People don't realize that. You know, because that was a Clinton to get all blacks on the welfare rolls, and that's why whites are upset at Obama because they feel that he's turning to the welfare state because really more whites are on welfare. I see Dana call. Let me bring this call in. Hey, how you doing there, Dana? What's going on?
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Bianchi.
Hello.
Well, here's my question. You know, you can say all day long that the Democrats don't care about African Americans, but you know that's a speculative statement. But the truth of the fact is that the Republicans that are running for office, they are willing to verbalize the fact that they don't care.
Well,
I mean, not just that, Romney, he excluded 47% of Americans. You're talking about almost 50% of people.
Well, that's what he said was true, though. What did he say
Percent dated on food stamps. Let's break it down. 37% of white Americans are on food stamps, and they're going to vote for Obama. Now you had 10%. You had 10% of the other. And that's the 47% he's talking about. He wasn't talking about. He's talking about the poor white trash, straight up hard people.
Because
you're president of the United States, you're president of all people. You're president of the poor people, you're president of the rich people, and you're president of the middle class. So you
that
can't
don't
exclude
work like
a
that.
Group to say who you're going to... Yeah,
I was still in the first black president.
And the fact that he made a misrepresentative statement when he was talking about how many people don't pay taxes. Because when they really take the numbers down, the people that are not paying taxes are the elderly and the extremely poor, and guess what? They can't afford to pay taxes, so they should not.
Well,
then everybody pays taxes. When you go to the store, go to the gas station,
10% of the taxpayers pay about 70% of all taxes. And another thing, if you say that he's the president of all people, then why the hell can't we just vote for Romney then? He has to be the president for all people, right?
Because I don't feel like he deserves my vote. And that's the wonderful thing about living in a democratic
country. He would still be the president of all people. He still would be the president of all Americans.
I want my president to have a track record that says success. And that's not what I see. When I look at Minnesota, the fact that it is the 47th poorest state in this country, that to me is very concerning because we need this United States to come out of the recession. When I look at the fact that Bain Capital folded with him as the CEO of that company, that to me is problematic because, again, we need this country to come out of this recession.
Well,
when I look at his track record and his statement, Paul Ryan are getting coaching in order to have a debate, are you kidding me? The president needs to be able to stand up at a moment's notice and be the man of the hour. And anytime you got a high coaching, you're not going to have that when you have situations like September 11th, when you have situations like Colorado.
They all get coaching,
Dana, because you got to get addressed to the issues. But dig
Obama's
this, Dana.
Obama's been coaching for the last
right?
3 days.
Dana, but dig this, though, Dana. Why was Bill Clinton the first black president then? If you mean president, you're president
of
all the
people. He's not an African American. He is not black.
They were saying that because the way the white man viewed him was He was taking care of black people too much.
That's why black, because that's racist.
No, blacks don't post to Clinton because they felt that their needs were being met and they heard they cry. Because at that time, he was being president of all Americans, but he heard the cry of black people. Now, on this president, he's the president of all America. You're right, Danny, the president of all Americans, but he just don't hear the cry of black people. I mean, he's doing the same thing Reagan did. Reagan was the president of all Americans, but Reagan didn't hear the cries of black people. That's all I'm saying. And he got two terms, and black people for Reagan and the Norman Reagan.
How can you say he's not hearing the cries of black people? He's hearing the cries of all people. He is increasing jobs. He is increasing, he is stimulating this country.
Because unemployment in African-American race is more than, because of unemployment levels in the African-American community worldwide. Let's look at Detroit. Let's look at Detroit. Let's look at Detroit. You bailed out GM, but look at Detroit. I just played it. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring it back up. I just played a skit in Detroit. There's no hope in Detroit. You know, there's no love in Detroit. He bailed GM out. And then what happened? GM got back up. Everybody did what? Everybody moved
the president of this United States.
Look at Detroit. Detroit is all black. There's no way that money should not have reached some African Americans in Detroit one way or another, is what I'm saying. Hold on. My fault, y'all, that loud break up noise.
Here's my question to you. I guess the true question is do we allow the entire society to suffer? Because African Americans are suffering. I say that if you look at statistics alone, that when the country does better, when there are more jobs in this country, then guess what? More people can get hired. And that does not just mean Caucasian people or Hispanic people
It does mean them because they're the ones
that will have more opportunity.
They're the ones doing the hiring, Dana.
When there's few jobs, guess what? They're still going to be the ones doing the hiring.
When there's a lot of jobs, they still do the hiring. You just got through having a demonstration on a construction project there. You got a construction project going on in a neighborhood, in an area that's 90% black, and you don't have 10 blacks on the whole project.
And you know what? And you look in the hospitals. And the hospitals have less than 1% African Americans. And you look at these computer companies, and the computer companies are the same way. And you look at these supermarkets, and the supermarkets are the same way.
Hey, Dana. How about this, Dana? If you go to the doctor's office, 1% black because they're not getting educated enough because they dropped the coming rate. Obama could fund No Child Left Behind, can he? I mean, just say that. Let's just say fund that. By funding that, then you might have a better chance of children going off to Meharry College to become doctors. Easily.
No, Jimmy, because the truth of the matter is that this racist society that we live in lock us out. It's not that people aren't educated. It's not that people aren't trying and don't have the know-how or the want-to. It's because once they get the opportunity, then the politics within that organization say you still don't deserve to be here.
Before you answer the box, this is Detroit right here. This is Detroit. I'm doing a little news break from Detroit. This is coming from a Fox News, so down to in Detroit. But the point I'm using that, all that money in Detroit, and this is all that money in Detroit. And this is what they used to do in Detroit. This is what they used to do in Detroit right now, Dana. Hold on, Dana. Hold on to you.
So in my business.
My solution is
shut it down. I wouldn't care.
Let's see, some call them thugs. They've invaded and taken over this gas station. And the owner says they're about to put him out of business. Only yesterday at a gas station, the owner says a gang of young punks walked into his business and refused to leave, scaring away his customers, acting like they own the place. In fact, that's exactly what they told Fox News' Alexis Wiley when she confronted those guys.
How would you feel if your business was being held hostage by a group of teenagers? That's exactly what's happening at one Detroit gas station. The owner says these teens aren't just a nuisance, they're getting dangerous.
There's a lot of good people around here, you know. They're my customer. We dealt with them for years.
But a lot of those good people don't come here anymore because this man may own this gas station, but they're the ones running it.
This is Bad Crew gas station.
Oh, Bad Crew gas station?
Bad Crew.
What's that? If you think this kid's got some nerve, take a look at what these teens do when they think no one's watching.
30, 40 guys in front of the station, inside the store, destroying my store, destroying my business.
The store surveillance cameras capture large groups of young men just hanging out inside the store, smoking cigarettes. This guy gets so comfortable that he sits on the counter and actually spits into the sink. The owner says most of this happens while he's gone. The clerks are usually too scared to say anything, so they just quit.
I have 4 kids. I can't even go and see my kids.
What do police do when you call them and they get here and see all these guys?
Well, see, when they come here, everybody leaves. 2 minutes later, they come back and lowering again.
Undercover narcotics officers are here fairly often, and teens are being arrested. But as you can see, that's not enough to stop them or get them to care.
Just these past 2 weeks, there have been people here from Reverend Marvin Winer's ministry that's come here and has tried to, you know, talk to the young people to give them some type of incentive. But it's just, you know, it's just out of hand. It's just been going too long.
People are scared and don't want to come here because
they see me cleaning outside, they get mad. Why you keep cleaning? Why you doing this? You know, it's a neighborhood, it's a hood station.
We tried to raise young people around here that they would be concerned and care about the area.
The owner says he'd walk away from this place if he didn't owe so much. Meanwhile, he keeps working and keeps hoping that these teens find somewhere else to hang out.
Your head's always here. What's going to happen? Is someone's going to get shot? Is someone's going to rob you? It's just too much stuff.
Now, I contacted Detroit police. They tell me they will continue to respond to calls for help. Meanwhile, the best thing for this owner to do is to hire an off-duty police officer to protect his station at some of the worst hours. He tells me that is something that he is now prepared to do. I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
Now, Dana, point being is there was a bunch of teenagers with no jobs, no employment, and no hope. Now, earlier, there's a man, 87-year-old man, Ed Gardner from Soft Machine, the man who came with Come Alive October 5, who backed bankroll Harold Washington to make him the first African-American. He got fed up with the lack of African-Americans on contract, can't get a job. Here you have all these union people and all these communities that can do labor, that can do construction, that can do wiring, carpentry. Even gardening.
But you look at the alternative. Anytime you put people in a situation
what's the alternative?
Where they cannot get a job.
Dana, the alternative is job.
They cannot get a job. What do you think happens?
Crime is job.
Why don't you play the clip from the African-American reporter who had a job at the Republican convention, and they threw peanuts on her and said, this is how we feed our animals. Play the clip for that.
Oh, look, are you talking about Bill Clinton who said Barack Obama being president is the biggest fairy tale I heard in my life? How about that shit?
Well, guess what?
Okay. You've got
obviously,
with
fairy tale.
No, I'm just saying.
What I'm saying to you is,
peanuts thrown at him, and then the president of the United States said a black man being president is a fairy tale. Give it up.
And they are compared. They called this woman. They said, this is how we feed our animals.
Bill Clinton.
So people want
party,
you to associate
listen,
President
This is
Clinton.
The head of the party. Listen, Bill Clinton at the time was a Democratic head of the party. He was the last Democratic president. And the last Democratic president leads the party. So the head of the Democratic party came on the mic and said, Barack Obama being president is the biggest fairy tale I've ever heard in my life.
You know what, Jimmy? Anytime you got Republicans hanging nooses around chairs as they pretend like there's a president is sitting in that chair, that's a problem.
Anytime you got Pam McCaskill's too scared to can't stand with the president. Anytime you got Democratic congressmen and senators too can't stand next to the president because they're that racist because they don't want their white voters to leave them. I mean, that shows cowardice alone itself. I mean, some people rather have racist friends.
You can't compare cowardice to blatant act of racism.
You can't compare cowardice to pretending my friend that
is running for governor in Idaho had him and his Klan buddies set fire to a cross outside while they stood out there and had a grand wizard meeting.
Al Gore's daddy voted against civil rights. Senator Byrd, who just passed away two or three years ago, the leading Democratic senator, was a ranking Klansman, a grand wizard in the Klan. Democratic senator, just died a couple of years ago. I'm just saying, but I mean, we'll either pass along because nobody wants to bring out their white sheep in the closet. Earlier we talked about the Philadelphia plan. Bianchi, could you educate Dana what the Philadelphia plan was? This is Richard Nixon, a Republican president. Richard Nixon, explain to my friend Dana about the Philadelphia plan, Bianchi, please.
This is your story on the mic.
Bianchi, are you there? Hold on, Emmy. They put Bianchi back on hold. This is call right here. Okay. Now, I was trying to say, if you explain the Philadelphia experiment to Dana.
The Philadelphia experiment. She don't know about that?
The Philadelphia plan, not the Philadelphia experiment, about the little ship captains that
happened. It was affirmative action. It was started by Arthur Fletcher out of Philadelphia. He came to Chicago to implement it. It called for the building trades to hire blacks. And they got angry and they was going to kill him. Nixon called Richard Daley and told Daley if they touched a hair on Fletcher's head, he would have the 82nd Airborne marching down Michigan Avenue Monday morning, shutting down Chicago.
And Richard Nixon implemented this plan. And let me get another example. Richard Nixon also made it possible for minorities to buy radio stations and television stations. He opened the door wide open for that. I'm just saying. I'll go here. George H. Bush appointed a black Supreme Court justice. 1991. And we had how many presidents have we had since Bush? And how many Supreme Court spots have been open? And how many people even nominated somebody black?
And how long have we had the Supreme Court?
Clinton put two up there. I think Clinton put two or three. Obama put two up there. Bush put two up there. Not one black even came across the ticket.
You know, another thing that's outstanding
is that in the year
black unemployment was under 10% for more months. Black unemployment was under 10%. More months under Republican presidents than they were under Democratic presidents, including George Bush Jr.
And that may be the case for some Republican presidents, but I don't think that's the case for the one that's running.
You're looking at one that's running. How about this, Dana? Why don't you ask the average black man when George Bush was in office, how much did he love those tax increment and refund checks that came every 3 months? People got a stimulus check every 3 months from George Bush almost. money came
but
in their
pocket.
You
know what? I think that they would
just saying people got
more
money,
having a job.
Money in the
I think they would
Dana,
be able
George
to keep
this,
more keeping
Dana.
Their house.
Let me tell you, let me tell you this, Dana. George Bush realized this. In order for the economy to go, I need to put the money in the people's hands so they're going to spend the money. I put the money in your hand, you're going to spend the money, and you're going to spend the money, then people are going to hire people. They're going to hire people, then people are going to have jobs. Now, on the other side, Obama's going to put the money in the businesses and the bankers, and they all they're going to do is what? Steal that money and make the money, make more money for them, while the average man is still looking for unemployment. Now,
but
everybody is saying why everybody.
Right? Because we know that's not true. Because
got,
his stimulus plan worked.
Obama gave all that money, and they have not. Obama bankrolled the banks, bankrolled every failing, too big to fail institutions, and they have not yet shook no jobs.
Stimulus plan.
Why?
Stimulus plan didn't
that
work.
How can you say that when over how many hundred gotten elected? I mean, have gotten jobs. Since the president has been in office, how can you say that? I mean, even if we pretended like no one, let's pretend, we know it's not true, but let's pretend like no one got a job. We already know Romney's history. We know his history because we can look at his state and see what happened.
But Dana,
listen. Romney was in a position that he was required by law to do what he done. If he hadn't, they could have had him jailed.
So
when you're invested, when you're in charge of
his money overseas,
when you yourself, if you had money in what's some of these investors coming, A.G. Edwards. And if that broker messed up your money, did not invest your money with the best possibility and the best will, he could go to jail over that. So Romney done what he was supposed to. He was working for shareholders. He's supposed to make them money.
But the shareholders, see, that's the problem to me with some of our American brothers and sisters. You see, the thing that you want is you want to invest in your own country. Okay? And so if there is a law that says that you need to pad your pockets, put your money overseas, hide your dollars, and not pay your taxes, to me that's a problem with the law.
They
okay,
didn't do
so
anything
like the guy
illegal.
From Facebook, when he made all that money, and the first thing he wanted to do was give up his citizenship, to me that was a problem.
Well, there's nothing wrong with
that,
as long as he got
it. I'll tell you what, I am proud to be an American. And me,
well, hell,
as American,
I know a lot of people.
Let me ask you something.
The country of Ghana, West Africa treasury bills is paying over 22% interest. United States treasury bills is paying what? About 0.05% interest. Now, where would you put your money?
You know what? I'm gonna put my money back into the United States because I know that as
that's why you're poor.
Our economy improves. Guess what? Then my interest rate improves. My situation improves. More people get jobs. More people have money. More people can keep their houses. The plan is not
people are losing houses, Dana. People are unemployed, Dana. People are unemployed. Maybe the people who get the push tax cuts right now. Maybe that Obama has not rescinded. Maybe those people are living the lifestyle that you say they live. But why I see out here in the street, the page of Detroit, you got blacks unemployed. You got blacks sitting there asking for jobs and can't get jobs. You got black people with trade skills and can't get no employment, can't get no contracts. Why here in a black man administration? See, let me tell you something. Sometimes people are scared to be black. If you're scared for your president to be black, goddamn it, just say that shit. Because I know this. He ain't scared to be gay. He ain't scared to be Hispanic. He ain't scared to be a lesbian. He ain't scared to be LGBT. He ain't scared to be a woman. Goddamn it, he's scared to be black.
How can you say that when he stands up? See,
listen, because he can make a federal mandate right now to say any federal contract on 30% African Americans on it right now. Fuck it. Right now, he ain't got to say reparations. He ain't got to say our pot. Listen, he ain't got to say this, Dana. He ain't got to say this. As a president of the United States, I will apologize for the role we took in slavery. He ain't got to say that role. He ain't got to make that statement either.
See, you know,
Dana, listen. Black people feel right now. Black people feel right now, Dana, that that statement does not have to be made right now. Blacks feel that the president of the United States, if George Bush came out and said, "I apologize for slavery," everybody would have been happy. If Bill Clinton would have said it, if anybody, any president would have said, "We apologize for the role we played in slavery," not reparation. I'm not talking about J.P. Morgan and Chase, even though Barack Obama is getting them now. I ain't talking about Lehman Brothers, even though Barack Obama is getting them now. What I'm talking about is apologizing for the role that America played and the slave
every time you swipe your SNAP card, J.P. Morgan gets paid.
It's funny that
Morgan is the first slave runner of America. And that's why I'm not tripping on him right now being investigated, because you know I hear you, Obama. I know you all people listening to my show, what's going on. Well, I know what you're doing to J.P. Morgan chicks. I ain't tripping. Do that. But what I'm saying is this, that a simple apology, you ain't got it. Put it like this. Every Negro in America think that give him a second term, he's going to do all of that. I'm going to tell every Negro in America, when he gets a second term, he ain't got to do shit or take a vacation. Because the first two years, he's going to try to get some Congress.
Let's talk about vacation.
Once you get the second term, Dana, the only person that had a hard second term was, let's say, Nixon impeachment, Reagan, Iran-Contra, Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, Bush. They tried to stick it with the little banks a lot. But the bottom line is this. The first 2 years, you can do this, you're going to try to get your little Congress elected, whatever, because that's a little term. Like, after that, out of it, because what it is now.
He's
going
to be going to war against Iran, then Pakistan. Watch and see.
Everybody can speculate. You can always speculate. First of all, let me go back to a statement that was made. See, me as an African American, I don't have to pretend like I enjoy it or not enjoy it. I don't have to pretend like I'm proud or not proud, because guess what? The moment I walk into a room, I'm not African American. The fact that I'm African American is seen. Okay? Okay. I don't have to tell anyone, because me being an African American, that is derated for me, that is projected for me all the time, because that's how it goes when it's one of us, okay? You want to talk about vacation, that if you look at President Bush's vacation time and you look at comparison, you compare apples to apples, and you will find out that President Obama was not on vacation. He was
What's wrong with the man his second term, like, hey, Vice President, run the show. Simple fact of the matter is, after his second two years in reelection office, it's all about getting another Democratic president elected, and you're gonna have everybody jockeying for the presidency, and they're gonna be doing things that way. That's a cycle, Dana. It's called lame duck president because he ain't gotta make no law.
So you can speculate on the term that hasn't occurred.
Okay.
If it was a fifth,
he'd be elected right now.
Oh, we can go on track record. And his track
Dana, let's go on track record. Is the economy on point right now?
The economy is better than it was.
Better than where?
It depends on what your point is.
I mean, then you stand track record. I'm going off track record. You stand the pen, okay? I'll take it off the table, Dana. Is the employment number? Wait a minute.
Gasoline is higher. Food is higher. GDP is not growing nowhere near that they projected it to grow. It's less. So it's not better.
It ain't better. More people have jobs.
Not only that, you're going to have to start paying at least
$5. You want to
right now, gas prices, y'all says boys are getting rich right now. In Chicago, gas is $4.69 a gallon. 3 years ago, Dad is 245. Dana,
Dad,
3 years ago,
Dad has always been higher in Chicago.
Dana,
Dana, 3 years ago, gas is 225.
That means it was a dollar somewhere else. So I'm just saying, if it was 250 in Chicago, it'd be a dollar somewhere else.
How can you compare somebody who took his state?
Because I'm paying more for Dana. Hey Dana, how about Dana? I'll go here, Dana. There's more people on welfare. Food prices are high. Are there any increase in your welfare dollars when the cost of food is up? No. Even if you're getting welfare right now, you're feeling the bite because you can't even pay for your food no more because the same bread that was $1.50 2 years ago is $3.75 right now. Right now.
Okay.
Even if you're poor, you can't afford the same amount of food you can get right now on a Link card or ATM card. Even the poor are suffering right now. The poor can't get no job right now. Right now, hey, Obama's saying charter schools. Charter schools ain't the answer right now. What I'm saying, Dana, listen, let's get off the black hype. I'm rolling the man, like I told you, because he's black. It's a black deal. Let's not lie to the people. It ain't better. Blacks are unemployed.
Okay.
Blacks are out here starving. People are hungry out here.
But you want to compare somebody who took their state to the
47th. Oh, yeah, Bush gave
some
money, Dana.
What are you going to say? He sent his money overseas then, but now he'll do something
different. Dana. You can go in there and drink the Kool-Aid and spit anti-Romney shit out here.
Anti-Romney
because he's a rich millionaire. All I'm saying is this. Poor people out here starving right now. Romney ain't the president.
And when you have a 47%
right now, food is high right now. It costs money. You can't get a gallon of milk under $3 now.
And
you can't get a gallon of milk under $3.
That means that everybody is starving.
Bread, milk, and cheese.
When you become the poorest state in this United States, that means that everybody is starving.
And you black and
That means a lot of people are struggling.
Who gets to blame for America when it's starving, Dana?
You know what? I guess you don't blame the person who was in charge of the place.
Right now we're starving now, Dana. When Bush was in office, people was millionaires and they weren't starving. They got checks every 3 months. They got tax stimulus checks every 3 months. Bush made sure you got the $2,000-$3,000.
We were headed towards a depression. That depression ended up being just a recession because he was able to turn this economy around and stimulate the economy.
Dana, again, Dana gave money to the bankers, Dana, and they have not spent the money on. He gave the money to Wall Street. Wall Street ain't created no jobs. If he gave the money to the people went to the community and they would have spent in the community, then the community would have had to hire people in the community. The unemployment would not be that way. It's simple mathematics. You give
When you look at the numbers, people are buying cars again.
Houses ain't worth nothing, Dana.
Walmart, people shopping again.
Dana, three years ago, if you bought a house for $75,000, that house right now is worth $55,000. Yeah, you can buy a house
right now.
But you got that house right
now. That person can't sell a house right now, Dana. I think the timeline is a little bit off.
I
think we need to back that up one more year. 4 years ago, my house dropped $100,000 in value. 4 years ago.
Obama became president, right? Because he became 4 years ago, he's president. I got
before
you.
Before he became the president.
Barack Obama became president, your house dropped. And it's been dropping down ever since, Dana.
No, that's not true.
4 years ago, we'll be saying, change some of
the
In three weeks from now, Dana, Barack Obama will have been president 4 years. And 3 weeks from now, he's been president 4 years, and his house started dropping.
I said before he became president, my house dropped.
Dana, 4 years ago, 3 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, he gave a speech in Grand Park. I mean, excuse me.
And you know what? What I'm saying to you is, if you're saying 3 weeks ago, that still means before he was the president. You can't say that three weeks he would have been.
How much house worth now, Dana?
My house is worth more than it was 4 years ago when the bottom fell out of it, and I still can't refinance it.
You live in D.C. Okay, I can respect that. I fault because Jesse Jackson did buy a house for about $50,000, he sent for $2.5 million. I guess that's right. I guess only in D.C. can that happen. I got you. You might be right because let me give you an example. I have a friend right now bought a condo for $279,000 5 years ago. Right now, it's worth $33,000.
And you know what? He can't get out of it.
There's so many Americans right now
out
their house right now. Why? Because the bank bailouts, who Obama gave them more money, kept giving them more money, are not even lending, Dana. Let's be real. We can sing the song of praise because we want everybody to know that black folks are mad at Obama. We're trying to hide the little hype in the room. No, the point I'm saying is,
I'm thankful that he's our president.
Dana, if you don't recognize that, if you can't recognize that African Americans are worse right now, if you can't recognize that, then I can understand that. But where I go, where I see blacks right now, they ain't spending no money because they ain't got no money. Hypes are right now starved. You can't get a hype to cut your grass no more now right now because people ain't got no money to give hypes no more. I'm just saying, people got no money to give nothing. It's bad out here. They're not hiring.
You know, if you were to compare,
all they're doing now, Dana, is get unemployment checks and disability checks. All they get is unemployment checks, disability checks, Social Security checks.
He did more for this country in his first 6 months than some people did in their entire 4 years.
Like what? Name it.
The health care reform. The stimulus, Wall Street reform. He ended the war on Iraq. Let's give the big one. Let's clap for the fact that Bin Laden is dead.
Okay. Let's clap for George Bush's plan. Let's clap for George Bush's plan. But now we speak that George Bush stimulus.
All that was done on George Bush's part.
We can deal with that. I'm saying right now, what does that got to do with blacks in Detroit unemployed?
What I'm saying to you is,
what's
everybody
got to do with blacks in Mississippi?
What's that putting that plan in there? Creating no policy to get a job, right? What's that got to do with all the plants going overseas, Dana? You can go find
what's
any
got
rhino
to do with
on the street,
Dana.
And they will sit down with you and tell you how they can turn around this country and how they can fix everything. But unless they can put those plans into practice, it don't mean nothing. It's just words on a piece of paper and a statement in the air.
Well, why are you hold your horses for a second. Let me bring somebody from 770. Got a statement. What's going on, 770?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, I want to get a little bit of this stuff. There's no way if George W. Bush were president, if the unemployment rate amongst the teenage blacks were 50%. There ain't no way in the world that wouldn't be on TV every single night, leading the news every single night. Gas is pushing $4 a gallon. Most of the year, it was $1.86 when Obama took office. They ignore this. The media ignores so many things about Obama. And it is ignorant to make black people think they're too stupid to go down and get a voter ID to vote. You're insulting black people for doing that. And there's no way. Just in Pennsylvania today, they rule that black people are too stupid or lazy to go get their own ID so they could vote. You can't see that. They're trying to rig this election again so you can walk up without ID and vote. In the county I live in, last week, they got five of the absentee ballots that were sent in. Five of them were from dead people who died months ago. And every single one of those ballots from dead people were voted for Barack Obama. Voter fraud is taking
place.
Wait
a minute now. Why don't you talk about the fact that last week the Republicans fired the people who are registering voters? You want to talk about, so we can mention the five dead people. Okay, they're dead. Their vote does not count.
No,
but
let's talk
about the people who are registering to vote, who are interested in voting, who are able and capable
vote
of voting.
Count.
Hell, you don't have to. In some we got places here that they got a box and a pad. You come up to the pad, you fill in your information and so forth. You fold it, put it in the box. Now you register to vote.
Well, I'm saying you is when you have somebody that fires the people who are taking the registrations for voting. Guess what? People who are capable, able, willing, and ready to vote, their vote won't count because they won't be able to get their registration ballots returned.
Okay,
hell,
so
you know
how do you fire the people that are registering voters?
So you're knocking the people who fired them, right? So the
Republicans
did the right thing
that.
And
that
fired
the
them, and you knocked that, right? You say that's a bad thing that they fired them?
Yeah, it's a bad thing that they fired them because anybody that has not already registered to vote can still have time to register is now no longer capable or will have more difficulty because
if they're doing wrong, they should be fired.
Are not there to register them. You want to talk about somebody that's rigging an election?
You have had cases where registrars themselves have filled out those ballots fictitiously. So, yeah, they should be fired. And in the last election, I used an expired driver's license to go vote. Nobody even really looked at it real hard.
How many people in this past year, in this Obama depression that we're in, how many people you think have moved from one house to the next, moved in with somebody else? In my subdivision, there's so many empty houses. The house next door to me, it's got grass up to my hips.
And when you have somebody that makes the state the 47th poorest state in this United States, which is almost the poorest state in the United States, guess what you get? You don't get just one person moving. You get 15 of them moving in.
Okay, so in those people who moved, can you kind of tell me that none of those people will use their old address to vote and the new address to vote to keep
I
that
don't know
EBT
people,
card?
So I can't
yeah,
say
you
what
don't
they
know.
Will do.
Because you're ignorant to that fact.
I can only say that when I vote, I'm voting for track record. And when I have somebody that bankrupts a state, the likelihood that they're going to cause the country to flourish is very slim.
Well, if
when
you
I have somebody that doesn't
bankrupt,
even, that is a multi-millionaire.
Who bankrupts the state? Massachusetts, the household income in Massachusetts is higher than any other place in the state, in the whole country.
When you got a white person and a black person, and both of them are holding an EBT card, you're trying to tell me that if somebody came to you and said, listen, if you want to keep that EBT card going, I want you for the next 3 weeks, because we got early voting around here, I want you to go to this precinct, that precinct, this precinct, and that precinct, and I want you to vote. You're trying to tell me that you couldn't get white people and black people to go in there and vote under another name. They prove it. They caught people on tape. They caught the guy
and you also
voting.
Had,
all he had to do was ask for Eric Holder's ballot, and they gave it to him.
Okay, so I don't know if that's true or not. I know that
it's on video.
I know that I registered under my name, and I know that I voted as who I am. So I don't know if
that's
true.
That's you, though.
But I also know that a few years ago, when someone was losing the election, mysteriously enough, we had to all of a sudden count the ballots in the same state that their brother was
the governor. Well, that has nothing to do with it. That shouldn't even their brother. That was made from one phone call.
Okay, so I got brothers.
That has nothing to do with it.
I got brothers. I got friends who have brothers. And you mean to tell me that your family member, the reason why they have these hiring practices and they say, hey, as the boss, you shouldn't go and hire your brother-in-law. The reason is because it may just appear to be unfair. And when you
George
your
W. Bush's brother, being a governor of the state of Florida has nothing to do with what happened.
Counting the ballots, then again, that appearance seems even more unfair.
That had nothing to do with it. It turns out that George W. Bush won Florida by several thousand votes.
How
in the end, it was a legitimate election. That was started
counting the ballots.
That was started by
that?
One Democrat.
How do we know
one Democrat
that?
Made one phone call and started that.
Who was the governor?
Voter fraud is taking place in 2012. This election is being stolen. It's going
to
try to be stolen because they know
the
Democrats can't win
know,
outright.
You just talked to me about some dead people who you said voted, and we know
no,
that
they
the election
did vote.
Has
yeah, they
occurred.
Did. They talked.
So
they,
if you
want to
bring up the
vote.
Past, then you got to let the past be brought up. Don't try to discount what I'm saying when I'm talking about the past, and then try
I'm
to
talking about stuff that
your
happened last week
about somebody that's dead.
I ain't going. I'm not going back to 2008, whenever it was 2004. I'm not going all the way back there.
I'm voting for the person who I feel has my
That election has been decided in the court, and it decided by counting every single ballot. And George W. Bush won. Now that's over. We're talking about what's happening today.
But again,
we're talking about people cheating today.
In the same state where his brother was the governor. So you know what?
We're talking about cheating that's going on right now. And the cheating that goes on now will affect generations of people to come. Because if you do not put a stop to Barack Obama, this country is on the highway to hell. Because right now our credit rating has been knocked down.
We stopped him by having the Republicans fire the people who are registering voters, so then that means that people can't vote.
So we should let them stay there, I guess, for you. No, we fire them when we find out they're doing something wrong. Republicans fire them, unlike Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, and all these other people that led those four
people
and Libby getting killed. We fire them.
The Republicans are firing the people who are registering
voters. Barack Obama won't fire people who got slaughtered.
Me as a voter,
who are responsible for that.
That means that me, if I as a voter, if I am in that state where these Republicans have fired the people who are in charge of registering, that means that I can't vote. I can't cast my vote. So you tell me
no, you can't. You can walk in anywhere and vote. Remember? Voting in the presidential election is not a constitutional right. Do you know that?
Say it again.
Voting in a presidential election is not a constitutional right.
If you are so
no, it's not.
Worried
no,
about,
it's not. Voting in your state election is your
here.
Right. Voting in a presidential race, there's no constitutional right, so you need to look that up.
Tell me this. If the Republican is so concerned about the election being stolen, why would they create an inability to vote? You want people to come out. You want people to register. You want people to make their vote count.
We want people who are who they say they are to come out, show your ID, and vote one time. That's what we want.
What I'm saying is,
if you have an ID that says you're this person living at this address, you can vote. But if you live in another town and you
that's
used to live there 6 months ago, go
but
back to that town, vote
happened.
There, and vote in the town you live in now.
That's not what happened.
That's voter
what
fraud.
What they're doing is they fired the people who are registering the voters. So even after I send in my registration paper, when I take my ID card to the ballot, it won't matter. I can't vote because the people who were supposed to turn my papers in have now been fired.
Well, go down to the registration office in the county you live in the next couple of days and go get that taken care of. It's your responsibility. You're the voter.
It's my responsibility, and I did the right thing. I did the
responsibility. Well, go down to the voter registration office.
I turned my papers in, and guess
what?
No,
you go down and do it again.
These folks have been fired. Even if I turn it in to somebody else, it don't mean there's going to be.
You go do it again. Take the responsibility to go do it again.
So again, the answer to what your statement was that the election is being stolen is that you make me go and register 15 times?
My answer to you is you take responsibility, you as an individual, take responsibility for you obtaining the ID and the proper papers to go vote. Just like I do, just like my wife does, just like every other white, black, Latino, an Asian person I know goes down and they take responsibility. They don't dump it off on somebody else and say,
I took my responsibility when I registered to vote. But if you close the place or fire the people who are supposed to take the paperwork that I turned in, that I registered for.
Was it at the office? Was that the voter registration office?
A system of denial is what
was
you did.
Was it at the voter registration
office? Of denial. I should say everybody needs to go to the post office and mail their packages, but if I take the postman away, it doesn't matter. The packages don't go anywhere.
Is the voter registration office in the town you live in still open?
Who are registering the voters. Now, if the argument is that these people who are registering the voters are worried about the election being stolen, why would you create a person an inability to vote?
Is it still open, officer? Is it still open?
Yeah, it's still open.
Is it still open?
If they told me I had to register, but see, the question isn't if it's still open. The question is, why are you taking away people's rights?
Yes, it's still open.
Question.
So if it's still open, then
yes,
it's your responsibility to go down
there, the
right show them your ID, and get registered to vote. It's nobody else's responsibility.
I will. Let me tell you something. If I had to register every hour on the hour so that I could vote, I would do it. Because
good.
To me, it is that important.
Yeah, it is that important.
What I'm saying to you is, if you are saying that this election is being stolen, then
yes,
why
it
is it that
stolen.
The Republicans are creating an inability for people to vote? Why are you
they are
not
creating an inability to vote.
Now they want felons to be able to vote.
In the state I live in, if you don't have an ID, ma'am, guess what they do to you? Guess when you call up on the phone and say, Mr. Voter Registration Man, I don't have a car to drive down there to fill out the papers. Guess what they send to your driveway of your house? They send a van. In the back of that van is a camera. In the back of that van and the camera, there's a green screen. They pull that down. You sit in a chair. They take your picture, and they issue you an ID in your driveway. This is the state of Georgia. We made it tougher for voter fraud to happen by people showing up and just saying, I'm Joe, anybody. If you don't have, you can't afford it, they'll bring one for you for free.
And
they
that's
give you
all
for
well
free
and
they
good.
Send over backwards.
That's all well and good in Georgia.
Yeah, that's all well and good.
In Florida,
yeah, okay.
In Florida,
so we're doing
our part
in Georgia to make
to,
the
guess what?
But
the
you know,
voter fraud
fire
the voters registration
this is,
people.
Jimmy, let me say something. This is a problem with these liberals. Do you not understand that the states have a constitutional right to set voting standards? That is not the responsibility of the federal government.
I'm not asking anybody
damn.
To not set a voting standard.
You live in D.C. You live in D.C. and you bitching about what's going on in Florida. Florida has a right to do that.
I'm bitching about what's going on in Virginia, too.
Virginia have a right to do
what I'm saying to you is, I'm not asking that standards don't be maintained. I'm not asking that standards don't be created. I'm asking that me as a voter who registered to vote, that
you don't even live in those states. You stay in D.C.
The people who have been assigned, the people who have been assigned to register the voters, that they do their part. That's what I'm asking for.
Well, what has that got to do? Wait a minute. What has that got to do? What has that got
to do?
You know, when you get done hooping and hollering, let me know so I can talk.
Okay, I will hoop and holler some more. I'm saying at the ninth hour, when it's time to vote, don't fire the people that's supposed to register me. That's what.
If they're doing wrong, you get rid of them, ma'am.
When you're done hooping and hollering, let us know so we can talk.
Go on there, producer said, go on there, Bianchi. DJ Blue Room Dana, go on there.
I don't understand with this lady. Does she not understand if a person is doing wrong, they need to be fired?
That's what it is.
That's what we just like this thing that I heard the other day, that a person got out of jail and served their time, they should be able to vote. No, that's not right.
No,
some states,
that's not right.
Some states allow it, and some states don't. They have a right to do it. Now, if
California,
the state that you stand in, if you don't like
aliens.
What's going on there, then move to another state.
What I'm saying to you is, why is it that they're all of a sudden that now there is this lack of credibility? These people have been registering voters for how many years? Now, today, October the 2nd, all of a sudden they're doing so much wrong that they're going to fire the people that's supposed to be registering the voters? To me, that just seems
because
kind of shady. Maybe they're doing
One thing that happened, Jimmy, one thing that happened down in the state of Florida, the governor of the state of Florida asked Eric Holder time after time to give him information so that he could cross-check these immigrants that was registering to vote. Illegal immigrants is an issue of the federal government. They have records on that, not the states. So here you got illegal, what appears to be illegal immigrants showing up in the state register's office, wanting to vote, and the state has no way to know who the hell these people are. Only the federal government keeps those records. And Eric Holder did not give them to the state in time. They had to be given to the state within 90 days or 100 days before the election so they could process them if they were duly due to be processed.
You know, Eric Holder, in 30-something days, will be out of a job.
He can register.
And the new governor of Florida went through and started looking at all the voter registration and the voter rolls, and he found thousands and thousands of people on that voter roll who had been dead about 20 years. And some of them have voted in the past 5 to 10 years. This is the kind of thing that goes on. You think, we're just all of a sudden bringing this up because of Barack Obama. I would bring this up if Bill Clinton ran, Jimmy Carter ran, no matter who ran. It's a fair and open and honest election. You cannot walk up and just say, I am somebody, and just
ballot,
not
right?
have any ID and prove who you
state
are.
Of Missouri, in the state of Missouri, they purged the voters' rolls because you had dead people. The people that were dead that had just voted in recent elections.
Yes.
In the city of St. Louis, it's notorious for dead people voting in Democratic wards.
You expect that in Chicago also, back in the early 80s.
Here's the thing. Barack Obama likes to make a straw dog argument. He likes to say we're trying to clean up our voter rolls, but yet he pins the word racist on it. The Libyan embassy gets bombed and no security over there. He blames it on a cartoon on YouTube that 14 people have seen. He blames something else, not the real reason. He blames something else.
So, I get it. You're trying to tell me that in a country that is known for when people speak against Muhammad. They are known and notorious for fighting for what they believe in. You want to give the impression that this anti-Islamic movie could not have contributed to the uprising.
Ma'am, do you know how little the Internet is shown in the Middle East? Do you know how very few towns, very few big towns, get the internet? I would say it's less than one half of 1% of the Middle East even pick up the internet. A friend of mine who works for the Army, he's an Army contractor. He recently visited the Middle East. He was only able to pick up the internet twice for about 3 minutes each time when he was in a big town. There's no way in the world that all those people throwing bombs, bricks, burning down the American flag, and killing those four people over there in Libya, there's no way they got on the internet and saw that on YouTube. No way in hell that happened. This was stoked by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. They stoked this fire.
We can't speculate who saw what movie. That's only speculation. We can't say
who saw
what.
They don't have access to it.
We can look at the fact that Middle Eastern people are willing to fight for what they believe in, and especially when it comes to somebody speaking against their religion. That has been proven.
So you disagree with that?
Saddam Hussein tried to call jihad, right? He tried to call jihad when he was having problems with the United States. He tried to initiate a holy war. Why? Because he knew that if the jihad actually took place, then those people were willing to stand up and fight for what they believed in.
So you agree with Obama when he talks about making fun of somebody else's religion? That's not a good thing, right?
Say again?
You agree with that?
I do definitely agree that you shouldn't make fun of someone's religion.
If you agree with that, then why in the world, when he was in New York City recently speaking at the UN, about a mile and a half of where he was standing is Broadway. And on Broadway, they've been showing a Broadway play for about a year and a half now. It's called The Book of Mormon. And that play does nothing but mock, defame, and try to totally embarrass and discredit the Mormon religion. It mocks the most sacred things that Mormon people hold dear. And it mocks it night in and night out, and you've never heard Barack Obama open his mouth not one time about the play The Book of Mormon. Have you ever heard of that?
What do you recommend that he says about a play that he didn't write?
He didn't write this anti-Muhammad movie either, but he ran his mouth about it. He didn't have anything to do with that either, but he spoke up about it. Why don't you speak up about the one attacking Mormon religion? He only speaks on that one.
What I'm saying to you is, what does one have to do with the other? If you
don't want
to watch this play that's attacking the Mormon religion, don't go to the Broadway show, the Broadway production of it.
If you're going to call one thing bigotry and racial hatred, you got to call the other one bigotry and racial hatred, because that's exactly what it is. Only this one, thousands and thousands of people can go see this play every single night. This little video on YouTube, 14 people saw it back in June. Back in June, this all was shown. And so when this stuff started coming up, on September 11th, of all days, Barack Obama just left the door wide open and let them come in there and kill people. And nobody's saying anything about it. But I guarantee you one thing, Mitt Romney will bring that up tomorrow night during the debate. Mitt Romney will beat Barack Obama over on the head about that fact, that four dead people. You mentioned earlier about Osama being dead. Well, that's one of the things that inflamed these people. That's all Obama talks about. Osama's dead, Osama's dead, Osama's dead. Well, they were mad about that.
That's interesting you mentioned that. I'm going to touch on that, too. We're going to be dealing with the debates in our 7th Amendment. I appreciate you calling
appreciate
in.
Appreciate it, man.
And being cool this time. We let you roll this time.
We got to get out there and vote. Everybody vote.
All right, appreciate that. Me going to bring Pianki in. Hey, Pianki, I'm going to give you a little word before I fade on out. Anything you want to say to my listeners, Pianki?
Well, what people should do is look at the facts. You know, like when we used to go into the club, they said, check your guns at the door. Well, people need to leave their emotions at home when they go to debate.
All right, though, Pianki. I check you in. I try to have debates on tomorrow, and I just route you out tomorrow. Appreciate you calling, my man. Thank you, Rick. All right, then. I meet you at the Blue Room. What's going on now? How you going to fade it out?
Okay, all I'm going to say is that If you want to look at who you're going to vote for, look at the person who has your best interest at heart. Look at track record. That's what you should do. Not all this smoke and mirrors about all this other stuff. So,
all right, Dana.
Everybody for listening. Again, I enjoyed your show, Jimmy. I love the debate. It's very interesting. But, again, I'm going for track record.
Yeah. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio. Thank you for listening, everybody. Called in. We kept it civilized this time. So, we'll try to have a phone tomorrow, and we'll try to talk about the debates, too. Good night, and may your God be with you always.